F2A. Number 2B.
Now, we take the epistles, and as I said, I'm not too much interested in saying that which is already in the Bible or my epistle book, but I want to show you how we can get hold of the epistles without actually having to know those biblical verses and the biblical text, that we can know the epistles through the Christianity matrix. So we take in the study aid page 101, or if you don't have a study aid here, you can also take the epistle book on page 42. It's more or less the same thing there. But if you have the study aid, you have more room for writing into that matrix more information. So if you have both, I think you do well to take the study aid on page 101. Yes. So there we have the Christianity matrix, which as a whole would show the reciprocal relation of man to Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. So you can see it is focused on man. It's the relationship of man to. So the focus is on man, is on Christianity, and it shows the reciprocal relationship of man within the whole category of the fourfold operation. So if we understand this matrix in the categories that are given, the fourfold category, then we have, so to say, the framework for all the epistles. And if we understand those category fine, well enough, in its refined way, well enough, then we could calculate every epistle ourselves. And that is what we really should be able to do. Only when we can calculate ourselves the truth, we have understood it. If we always have to read the truth, that means that we don't understand the truth, or we wouldn't have always to read the truth. So if we have to read the whole life long the epistles in order to know something about the epistle and to know something about man and the nature of man, we know that we haven't understood anything about men, about the epistles, because we always have to read them. In arithmetic, you don't have always to take out the arithmetic book and read it. You understand the system of arithmetic, and therefore you can always calculate what you have to calculate. That's the method I want to teach in my whole my life. I started out with that 50 years ago. That's what I want to do. That's my method, that I don't want to say, look here, let's come together and read together verse 3 of the second chapter of Corinthians and see how wonderful that verse is, and we talk half an hour about that verse. That I don't want to do. Everybody can read. That's why we went to school to learn to read. What I want to do is to show that such a text is only a symbolization of something that underlies reality, that the deep structure of reality must be seen, and that the deep structure of reality is shown as and symbolized as a text in the surface structure, in the text of the Bible or the textbook. So if we understand this matrix clearly, we will be able to calculate Christianity for ourselves, quite independent of the text. And to give away a little secret, which I shouldn't give away, I made up my mind when a year ago I decided that after the Christ matrix, we could also take the Christianity matrix in order to culture ourselves more in the text, that I made up my mind that I'm not going to read the Bible during the whole year as a preparation. I didn't read the epistles. I ask you to read the epistles. That's not very nice of me to ask you something I don't do. I didn't do it because I wanted really to see if within my consciousness the categories are clear enough to define every one of these epistles through the categories. Can you see, in a deductive way instead of an inductive way? The inductive way would be if you would read the text slowly and analyze the text clearly, and then make our epitomes and bring it back to a matrix. I try to do this year the very opposite, namely to show you the frame of reference, the matrix frame, and reason out with you together what each epistle has to say. Not what each epistle says, but has to say. If those epistles are from God, therefore inspired by God, revealed by God, then Paul couldn't write just what he wanted to write. He had to write what he wrote. Therefore, we too could see that if we understand that structure of being clear enough, we should be able to see what each epistle must say, not what it says, but what it must say. Because also in arithmetic and mathematics, the results are always a must. 2 and 2 must be 4. They are not just 4. They must be so. They can't be else but that. That is what I like to bring out. So we will spend quite a while just with the categories, just with the framework of these epistles that you have here in the Christianity matrix. We were together, most of the students that are here were also last year here with the prophet matrix, with the Christ matrix, and there we were discussing naturally together what is a matrix, what the purpose of a matrix. So I don't have to go too much again into it, but to, in order to bring it up to our consciousness again, I just quickly want to go again through what is a matrix. And what a matrix is, you have also in the study aid on page 96, you have there some definition. Yes, on page 96, perhaps you turn quickly to that and then we go back again. Page 96. And so we refresh our thought quickly, what is a matrix? Because that always comes up. What is a matrix? That's something very difficult. And it isn't difficult because in the first grade, he already could read a matrix. Every very little child in the first grade can read a matrix. He brings home, I guess, a time table for his school, and he has a matrix there with 2 indices. On the top he has Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and he has another index, namely 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, I guess 2 to 3 and 3 to 4, something like that. And he can easily read what lesson he gets on Thursday afternoon from 3 to 4. He knows, oh yes, there we have, what shall we say, history. Huh? See, he already in the first grade you read a matrix. And so it shouldn't really be difficult really to know what a matrix is and to handle a matrix. In In that study aid on page 96, we give definitions of matrix. First, the origin of the term matrix comes from womb. This is the same as from mater, which is mother or matter. So when you go way back to in language, it was, so to say, the fundamental tone that is fundamental practically to every language. Namely, a child first says ma, and from ma comes mama, or the later mother, comes matter, and so that ma is really the fundamental tone of that motherhood sense of the womb, of the place of origin. Many say that every language developed from that ma tone, and so it's a place of origin like a cradle, the place in which anything is nurtured in its earliest stages. It's a source, it's a cause, it's a grid. A grid is already a very good expression. You see, you have already more than just a womb. It's a grid now, a chessboard pattern. That's just the origin of the term matrix. But when we ask ourselves, what does it mean, when we want to know something more about the inner form of a matrix, we have here two very different symbolization. The one is more a organic definition of matrix, ma, the mother, that comes from the mother, from the womb, namely that from Webster, which you have there, a place or enveloping element. That's very nice. A matrix is an enveloping element that envelops within itself everything. Enveloping element within which something originates, something comes out, like in a womb. First it is embracing everything, and then from that comes something out, something originates, then takes form or develops. That which gives form, origin or foundation to something enclosed or embedded in it. So you always have those two tones in it. First, it is embedded in it, but it does not remain embedded in it, but in that embedding is already everything there that is needed in order to bring forth something. And so the matrix is something that includes everything, that embraces everything. It's just one pattern, and within that there is a great structure. And that structure can tell us many, many things and can be very creative for our thought if we can read that matrix properly and can reason in it properly. So that's usually the text or the symbol that John Dolley used at his time, whereas today we prefer the more exact, the more mathematical symbol of a matrix, which we have in the next definition. And that definition is the one that we have to remember and with which we are working. A matrix is a schematic model of order. So you see, it's a model. It does not exist in reality. In reality, God doesn't say, I have a matrix. It is a symbol that we use in order to understand God. So we must not confound the model with reality. The model is only a way how we can understand the reality, the inner nature of reality. So it's a model, but it's a model of order. And we see again what a great place value really the term order has in our subject. Everything depends on order. If there is no order, we can never understand the subject. Because order means absence of chaos, of disorder, of chaos. We can't understand something that is chaotic. says, well, I can't understand. It's absolutely chaotic, which means that if we would see order in it, that then we would be able to understand it, that it would become transparent to us and we could understand it. So it's a model of order. Therefore, when we go on, we'll see that we constantly have to deal with orders. I go on with reading off the definition. It has columns. That's one thing. The columns are that which are vertical in a matrix. So in the timetable, that would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So the columns are vertical, and therefore afterwards we will speak either of columns or we speak of the vertical. One is the same as the other. And it has on the other side rows or lines. The rows or lines are the horizontals that are written that, sorry, from your side this way. These are the rows or lines. And we call them, therefore, horizontals, and we know much better what we are talking about. So we talk that the matrix consists of two indices. The one are the verticals, the other are the horizontals. Yes, which are constructed according to definite rules. Now, this is interesting. As simple as it sounds, it is constructed according to definite rules. Those orders have definite rules. For instance, we must see that if we are considering in the Christianity matrix the columns, that those columns are ordered according to definite rules, namely according to Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, and not just in another way. The rule is that we obey the order. That's the great point. And we have seen at the beginning of this hour that if we don't obey the rules, namely to stick to the order, that then we may jump from the Word to Christianity, and we don't, and we are quite unaware why it is so difficult to demonstrate what we want to demonstrate. Then another point that is important, the definition goes on and says, the essential requirement is that all the elements in a column, in a vertical, or in a row, the horizontals, possess a common characteristic. So we cannot have just something in a vertical that has not a common denominator. Everything within a vertical and everything within a horizontal must have a common denominator. And that is very often forgotten, so that we usually get then only a schematic tabulation, but not the matrix. If we just put into a tabulation some terms, that is not that doesn't make a matrix. We have to see that there is always a common denominator in the verticals and in the horizontals, and that they must really be ordered according to a definite rule, namely according to the four sides of the city, so that the horizontals and the verticals must already be stated in an order, so that they possess a common characteristic. Just as far as that, and then naturally we have seen that, all right, let's just take that and put it back to our matrix, which we had on, we go back to the Christianity matrix on study 801, and consider now how that definition, the more mathematical definition, applies to the epistles. In that matrix which you have in front of you, you really have there columns, namely those that are vertical, Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. These are the four columns that you have. Yes? And then we have lines or rows, horizontals, on the left-hand side. If you read the first column down, it's again Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. Yes? So we get a matrix of 4x4, which shows us what? Which shows us how the fourfold operation of God reflects each other, reflects one another. That the Word reflects itself as the Word, as the Christ, as Christianity, as science. And go down the first vertical. I think I went a bit too quickly, so I take up the subject again in order to state it very simply and step by step. Last year already, we have seen that in mathematics you symbolize a matrix by some symbols, by mathematical symbols. And we had last time this mathematical symbol, which you have here. Every matrix in any science shows that matrix as a capital A, and then a little I and J, subscripted I and J. The I is an index, the J is an index. You must have two indices, the I and the J. And so every matrix can be symbolized with this formula, namely A, capital A, I, J, is the fundamental of a matrix. What is, in our case, the A, the capital A? In our case, it's Christianity. So that A stands here for a matrix on Christianity. And then there are two indices, I and J. And on those two indices, we must be very clear. Where are those two indices in our matrix here? The first index, I, is where? It is that index which you can see. It's the index that runs this way and says the index I is the fourfold operation of God, namely Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. So that's the index I. We can't forget that anymore, or we'll not understand each other for the whole week. And then comes the index J, and we have the index J here on the side, on the left-hand side, going down, and giving the horizontals of again of the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. Yes? So both indices here are the fourfold operation of God, as were Christ, Christianity, and science. Now, the question is, are those two indices of the same importance? And the answer is no. They are different. And you can see how we tried through the typing to make that difference. The index I we printed all through Word, Christ, Christianity, and science in capitalized letters. Whereas the index J, which is of secondary importance, I'll tell you why then, is written only the first letter is written in a capitalized letter and the others no more, so as to give some kind of indication that the index J is subordinate or is not of the same caliber or value. So actually we have a matrix that indicates here that we use the fourfold operation in two different altitudes. What are the altitudes of the index ij? And we can see the index I is absolute Christian Science. It's always from the standpoint of absolute Christian Science. Whereas the index J is from the standpoint of Christian Science. Usually, one does the following in order to make it plain for the reader. If somebody prints in a book a matrix, he makes the upper left corner that is empty in your matrix. They make a slanted line from the top corner left to the down corner right, make a slanted line. In order to indicate what is above the slanted line belongs to the index I, and what is underneath that slanted line belongs to the index J. Did I go too quickly? No. So actually, if you want to indicate to the reader very quickly what it's all about, then you could put above the slanted line, you could put there, say, the index I, and write absolute Christian Science. And under the slanted line, you could just put index J, or just a J, and say this is Christian Science. And in this way, we would already have explained the whole nature of this matrix.